Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Well, welcome everyone to a live bonus episode.
Oh, what? What? This is there Transformers in this?
No,
this is Transformers.
No,
what?
This Wait, is what? About this is about a little boy who gets lost at camp and is transformed into an older dead man.
Oh, this is about a horror franchise that transforms into an X-Men movie for kind of a bit.
That's right. This is our live episode on Friday the 13th, Part 7: Calling a New Blood or the New Blood. This was recorded live at a terrible comedy club in Atlanta, Georgia.
It was fine, and it was a good time had by all. You were there.
The show was good.
Yes.
The club sucked. The show was
good.
We
met a lot of great people in Atlanta. Love meeting people after shows. Big
fan. Yeah. Yeah, people were great. Club sucked.
Mm-hmm.
I still have the mozzarella stink in my fucking t-shirt. Man.
I personally love mozzarella, but, and I know you do too, listener, because you're listening to We Hate Movies right now. But the audio quality is just not up to par of what we usually release now. This is also why it's a bonus on coming out on a Thursday.
That's right.
And, you know, it sounds a little more like our older live episodes, but they're the jokes. They're the jokes.
The jokes are there. And if you
jokes
don't like
are all
it,
there.
You could just hit stop at some
exactly.
point. And yep. just, you know, hit stop.
But give it a shot, guys.
Yes, I would ask you to give it a shot because there is a lot of funny stuff there. I think we're talking about Jason Voorhees getting executed a little bit. There's some gator wrangling jokes as well.
Yeah, there was a gator wrangler thread throughout the episode.
Sure.
Eric falls down at one point.
At one point, you mean when the first time I take the stage, I run out there, I smash into a pole, I fall over a couple of chairs.
It's like a fucking Buster Keaton short.
While holding the device recording this episode.
So you hear him eat shit in like nice crisp quality sort of.
Yeah.
It was recorded on your cell phone.
No, I mean,
it's pretty impressive.
That's right. I have a newer phone, so it's going to sound good, guys. Don't worry about it.
But we just wanted to give you the heads up. Nobody's got a gun to your head. We want you to enjoy the episode, but here's your warning. It's not our usual up to our standards board quality mix that we usually have.
And the thing is, you know, I just want to quickly mention something because that, you know, we have various social media presences, and we have a Reddit, which is just We Hate Movies, all one word, is the subreddit.
Yeah.
And they had been really clamoring for this episode.
Yeah.
So I just want to give them a little shout out so that you could go visit that if you choose to.
And a lot of good conversations happening there.
Yeah. And they were like, we don't care if the audio is crap. Give it to us. Give it to us.
So blame Reddit if you don't like it.
That is what I'm getting at.
Okay.
Thank you.
So now please enjoy We Hate Movies live in Atlanta, Friday the 13th, The New Blood.
I'm Chris Cavan.
I'm Steven Sadak.
I'm Eric Faldan.
And we are We Hate Movies from New York City. How y'all doing this evening? All right, it smells good in here. You guys all got your dinner?
Who's here just to eat?
This one dude is like, I am here every Thursday. What the fuck is this?
Where's this mozzarella stick bar?
Mozzarella stick bar? What a fucking palace that would be.
Paradise.
Here's a quick question. How many of you guys are familiar with the show We Run on the Internet? Folks,
Who, did anyone watch the movie we're going to be talking about tonight in preparation of this?
Did anybody pull out their box set? Somebody pulled out a box set.
Oh, yeah. Blu-ray or Buzz.
Oh, absolutely.
So if anyone is here for the first time, if you're just here for the Mozzarella Stick Palace, if you don't know what this is, we are a comedy podcast from New York City where we pick a bad movie and kind of make fun of it for a little bit and really sort of take it to task. So that's what's going to happen here tonight. It's going to get a little dirty. So, you know, be prepared for that. If you're waiting for a diner cheesecake, maybe do that out there. It might get filthy, you guys.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. So the film in question, Friday the 13th, 7, The New Blood, from 1987, which is a grand year.
Friday the 13th, Part 7, The Different Ting.
The mix-up.
Yeah, it is kind of a mix-up.
Is this the only time that they've ever, like, taken on a gimmick? Like, it's clearly, like...
The whole fucking thing is a gimmick.
Another gimmick. Because it's clearly, like, my whole thought process of how this happened was...
What thought process?
They had five pages of a script for a Jason movie.
Right, that's kind of all you need.
And then they had, like, maybe 35 for Carrie 3. Okay.
Yeah. Well, this would still be Carrie... It would be two. That movie came out in the 90s, where that girl shoots that dude in the dick with a harpoon.
But I just imagine...
So then that was going to get gross. It took 2 minutes.
But you know the mat, like the shuffling thing you can do with the pages? Yeah. That's what I'm imagining they're doing.
Oh, so that would be Friday the 13th, Part 7, Goal in the Mix-Up.
Yes.
Ah, I see. So this film, directed by a guy... who could also maybe someday assassinate somebody, John Carl Buechler. When you hear what John Carl did, we saw it coming.
John Carl Buechler, lightning will now strike your body until death.
You will be hanged also until death. But this is, it's such pretentious bullshit in this movie. Because what? It's
how?
Get ready, I'll tell you how. And then we'll have to back up for a second. But what this
it's
says
kind of an art film, right?
It's over.
Just a little bit.
What it says in these credits is a Paramount Pictures production of a John Carl Buechler film. Shut up.
That's just padding out the. This is like a 72-minute movie with like there's like an opening, with like previously done footage. We have very long black credits. You don't have to pay much for that.
It's really Friday the 13th, 6.5.
It really is because you get this. It's like 10 minutes of previously on Jason, and it's like the whole franchise.
Well, it's a salty old pirate telling you about it, right?
There is a curse in these woods.
It's like a YouTube tribute.
There's no like Evanescence songs. That's like the one thing you need in every YouTube tribute is some shit new metal tune over it.
They don't get paid for that. That's unfortunate.
Oh, Evanescence?
Yeah,
they're not getting paid.
They don't get a dime from YouTube.
Jason Voorhees' curse. Crystal Lake's curse.
Oh, it's a curse.
Ticket buyer's curse.
Well, the weird thing is he's like under like the lake isn't that deep and he's just in it. He's like 6'2". The lake is like 6'8".
It's like the ending of 6 and the start of this. It's like a Wile E. Coyote routine. It's like someone got the chain around him and now he's stuck to this big rock and then a piano fell on him.
That's what you want to do is drop a piano on this guy. That might stop him.
Is he like just grabbing at people all the time like in a 10-year period? Why? Here's my question. Why don't you see, like, fish eating him? I was, like, sort of, like, nipping at him. That's what we feel like.
And then a fisherman catches those fish, and they eat the fish, and now the whole town starts getting a little Jason-y.
Oh, it's an evil curse for fishermen, too.
The supernatural evil, I feel like if you ingest that, some of that rubs off, right? Like
you do not want to eat the supernatural.
Yeah, it would cannibalize Jason, I don't think.
You get, like, road rage and shit. It's not extreme.
Yeah, oh,
it's not full Jason.
It's just road rage. Like, what the fuck is this guy doing? Was that that evil fish I ate, or am I just angry?
Tonight's special is the evil fish. It's done in a lemon butter sauce. It's fairly evil. And we try to make it as well cooked as possible because you may indeed contract road rage.
And with repetitive tomatoes.
What? Oh, yeah. What is repetitive tomatoes?
Oh, that's also a curse.
Oh, like you're throwing it out?
Yes.
That's that's like restaurant lingo.
Oh,
I see.
Well, we are.
Watch out for those repetitive mozzarella sticks, by the way.
So, it's actually kind of important because
It's kind of important.
Right in 1970, yeah.
It's kind of important.
Well, because it's in an alternate reality.
Oh,
an
right.
Alternate timeline. Because.
Yeah, this is crazy.
It gets really funky because, like, it begins with this girl. She has telekinetic powers. She kind of kills her dad. Whoops, right? She doesn't kind of kill her dad. She fucking murders them.
And I don't understand, like, a lot of movies, her dealing with the guilt of it. Why? This guy was a jerk.
Yeah,
it all comes around because he's, like, punching her mother in the face.
You're beating your wife, and you wear this white cardigan.
You will be hanged until dead anyway. Yeah.
So, but then it cuts 10 years in the future. So, like, the question is, so I'm going to go through a timeline that I found on Wikipedia. Now, so you know Wikipedia, you guys, it gets a little wonky.
But it's 100% accurate.
Yes, all the time.
We're banking on this.
It starts with Freddy Krueger's born in 1942, which I didn't know that.
I'm a boomer. Why do millennials buy such expensive coffee? I don't think there's no pizza, Tom. All I had was this sweater.
So then, a sweater
and a dream. That Fred
exactly. Yeah. He picked himself up by the bootstraps, molested kids, and came back as a ghost.
That's right. That's a fucking successful man.
Exactly. 1946, Jason is born. 1972, Tommy Jarvis, the hero of the last movie, is born. 79, Friday 1. 84, Friday 2. This is where it kind of gets wonky.
Okay.
Fridays 2 through 4 all took place in 1984. You know what I mean? Everyone was going crazy over Raiders of the Lost Ark. So,
oh, yeah. It was just maddening. You just wanted to murder everybody after you saw that movie.
So then Friday Part 5 is in an alternate 1989.
Alternate?
Because they
jumped in 85.
Because Tommy Jarvis then grows up. It just, you know, he's like a 20-year-old... Hot stuff.
It's crazy how we're just bending time in this franchise.
And then 1990...
Like Christopher Nolan shit.
1990, and alternate 1990, Friday 6. So then this movie, because it takes place 10 years later, is in alternate 2000, and I guess, like, New Jersey was cursed by a witch that it's, like, the 1980s forever?
The wardrobe, at the very least, is stuck right there.
Yeah. The cars.
Everything. Well.
It's just odd.
But did no one care?
The answer is yes, obviously. No one cared.
So, wait, this movie's 2000?
Yeah, this year's... And then,
so, part 8 is 2001, so Jason went to Manhattan during 9/11.
Wow! That's what the whole smokescreen was about.
That's what they were trying to get
together, Eric.
That's what it was. It was a government op trying to take down Jason. Totally went wrong. No, it was okay.
To break the curse of the 1985 can happen in New Jersey.
And then they're free of the timeline.
Yes, exactly. That's the curse.
That's why you don't remember anything before 2001.
Oh, New Jersey has cursed feathered hair reigns forever. You're going to have that tape deck in your Trans Am for years. And Rick Springfield plays but once a year.
Do you like cassette tapes?
You're going to have nothing but cassette tapes.
Oh, you know what stayed that way forever? Minimum wage.
Bravo.
So yeah, she murders her dad by, like, he's standing on a dock and she goes out on a boat like, I hate my parents! And he's like, come back, I love you, I'll never do it again. And then she does the thing that you do in all these movies where you have, like, telekinesis but we don't know how to broadcast that. She just goes, and, like, really hard, like she's trying to, like, take a shit, just like, and the dock falls down, and I guess this dude is presumed dead. Yeah,
well,
the idea.
The whole time he's doing the, you know, the domestic abuser, like, thing. I'm sorry, baby. You gotta come back here, baby. Please, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I still love you, Tina.
Well, you gotta pepper in those babies.
The thing is, I mean, the only other way to do telekinesis is this guy. Like, you have a button on the side of your head.
Oh, Professor X.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm doing it. I'm doing telekinesis now. Yeah.
Not doing telekinesis?
Doing telekinesis. So I guess the way that she did it was fine.
Yeah, it's a choice. It's an acting choice.
But Professor X owns this.
Yeah.
This is only, you're doing a Professor X.
You have to pay Patrick Stewart 20 cents to do that.
That'll be 45 cents, Tina.
So Tina and her mom and Weekend at Bernie's Terry Kaiser.
Right, the legend.
Speaking of art films.
This is pre-Bernie, by the way.
Oh, really?
Which is why it's pre-mustache, I think.
Must have gotten the job, you think?
Oh, yeah. They're like, get me that guy from Friday the 13th 7.
Hey, he does dead well.
Which is kind of funny, because he only does dead okay in this movie.
He didn't find his instrument yet. You know what I mean?
Like, the instrument was the mustache. I think that's what ties the whole thing together.
He needed a playoff with Jonathan Silverman, someone of that caliber.
Oh, yeah, you're right. None of the schlubs in this movie.
So they're both, the psychiatrist is like an evil psychiatrist, I guess. But
yeah.
He's like trying to like, he's a psychiatrist for telekinetics, I guess?
Well, it's kind of like how the Ghostbusters are scientists.
Oh, yeah.
He's like a Jedi whisperer.
Yeah.
But she's got like, this is like force powers.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
maybe, it's crazy. Maybe Jason was just trying to take her to Supreme Leader Snoke.
Entirely possible.
I just want to talk about Star Wars.
That's the original name of this show, isn't it? But no, she's kind of an X-Man. He's kind of Professor Xavier. And Jason might be Wolverine.
Oh,
that's why he's just like at the bottom of that lake.
It's just always at the bottom of Alkali Lake.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, it's not that he heals per se, he just kind of keeps going.
He just kind of doesn't give a shit about physical damage.
Can we talk about the physical damage? Like, the design of this beast monster in this movie. They're really trying to go for something here, and it fails horribly. But it's like, all you need is a guy with, like, a jacket on, and a hockey mask, and a machete, and that's it. And this shit is like, what do you think about, let's say, like, his spine and all his ribs are, like, hanging out of the back. Would that be cool? Would that be worth another $10,000?
But he smells, he's never smelled worse than he does in this movie, right? Like,
this is the absolute worst.
Yeah. Under a lake, like, and everyone's always surprised when he comes here, when he gets them, but, like, dude, you would smell him a mile away.
That's how the town of Crystal Lake should know to lock their doors. Like, yeah. Uh-oh. Mother, lock the door. I think Jason's out of the water again.
I'm going to vomit on the sidewalk now.
Yeah, it would be instant puke.
They should have kept him rotting throughout the series, so that, like, you know, when we get up to, you know, maybe past 8, he's just a skeleton.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Right? Like, it's Jason and the Argonauts.
Yeah.
Oh, Jason is the Argonauts.
Yes.
That'd be great. I think because also it's like smell of a corpse and then like smell of a waterlogged corpse, right? So it has to escalate.
It's a bit of a jump.
Plus he's just pissing and shitting under there too, right?
Is he as a reanimated corpse?
No.
He always got.
Wait, have you seen him eat? They don't show him eating.
That's true.
Stop off for a burger. Oh, hey, is Mozzarella Stick Palace still open?
Oh, my tacos are 20 minutes late.
Well, no, he goes to McDonald's and just goes like this, because he wants a number one, which I believe is a Big Mac.
That's true.
So he just goes like this, because he can't speak.
I believe that's a Big Mac. You fucking know that a number one at McDonald's is a Big Mac.
A McDonald's, which I believe is a hamburger restaurant?
I've never been there myself. I think that.
When I go there, I only get the salad.
Yeah, right.
So, like, the idea is, like, they're bringing her back to her childhood homes, too, because, like, she only, like, experiences the telekinesis through trauma. So it's like, oh, what's right. that traumatic thing? This over-designed house that has a picture of a fucking rocket ship in it for no reason.
It's like feats of modern travel technology.
Yeah, so there's, like, a rocket ship, there's, like, a Wright Brothers plane.
There's a picture of an old couple. They, you know, back in the day, used to ride old people. Yeah, you go to the market, you hop on grandma.
So I don't know why they kept this house in the family.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, this is the house where Dad was murdered by my daughter. Oh, yeah, I want to keep it in the family.
Oh, and it's also right next to all those other murders that were happening.
Yeah, just burn it down with insurance.
For some reason, people are kind of ignorant on the whole Jason thing.
Everyone keeps forgetting.
Eventually, they find a scrapbook, and they're like, what?
Jason, what? What movie am I in? What's this? Well, that's what's weird about this one is, like, you get that pirate narration at the beginning, and then nobody mentions his name until, like, an hour and 10 minutes into the movie. She's like, oh, Jason! It's like, has no one thought about this before? You all live around here.
Oh, well, I guess it, man, I keep on thinking it's the 80s, but I guess since it, what, 30 years went by?
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah. It's alternate 2000.
Yeah, it's 2000.
And I think they're back to Crystal Lake in this movie, too. What do they call it the last one? Like
Forest Green?
Forest Green. Yeah, that fucking fails. Yeah. I guess they realize they could capitalize off of it. So, like, yes, we're out of Jason license plates.
Did these characters go to see, like, Fight Club in the theater down here?
They get to see all the spiky hair that everybody else has and striped shirts.
Yeah.
But
New Jersey's still stuck.
Yeah. Yeah, we just have these dungarees and plaid shirts.
Wait, but pop culture continues, so they're getting pop culture shipped in, but yes. Like, we can't upgrade. We can go see Fight Club in the theater.
There's an embargo on, like, new clothing and things.
Oh, yeah. I see.
We hear the new Radiohead's good out there.
Well, Billy Ocean again, I guess. Rewind, flip tape.
You know, George Bush's son is actually the president?
What?
The vice president? He had a whole term.
What?
These are conversations they will be having.
New
Jersey they will be.
But, yeah. The other side of this is, we're getting ready for a pretty cool birthday party. So, like, all the lineup of dead meats in this film are gathering for a surprise birthday party for, like, a 25-year-old. And it's like, at some point, you reach beyond the age where it's okay to have a surprise birthday party thrown for you.
Well, you, especially in your 20s. It's like, it's like when you're a little kid, and then when you're, like, 80, it's like, let's give you a...
You know you cannot give an 80-year-old person a surprise birthday party! They're gonna surprise right to the fucking grave!
Give the old girl one last surprise.
But, you know what? Maybe you want to get him killed.
Oh, that's a good way to do it.
Yeah, like, you're taking care of him. Come on.
Oh, that's why they have this party at Crystal Lake. Nobody likes this guy.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, no, let's go to Crystal Lake.
There you go.
The murder capital of the world.
But, like, before that, even, like, it's like Nashville. Like, there's all these different storylines going on.
Yeah.
There's, like, a couple, like, trying to have sex in the middle of the forest.
Yeah, well, you get those in these movies. It's always like there's a couple that's always, like, not connected to the actual story. They're just there to fuck, and they get murdered before they can fuck. So that happens. I mean, yeah, I think John Carl Buechler was influenced highly by Robert Altman's Nashville. This Jason movie will be like Robert Altman's Nashville. You wait and see, Paramount Pictures. You wait and see! I'm an artist, goddammit!
It's a presentation of his film.
It's fucking film.
But the weird thing is, like, so, but these two things are just kind of happening next to each other.
It's like two movies, it's like two little race car sets, and they're vying for who's going to win. And in the last, like, 4 minutes of the movie, we kind of intersect, but that's pretty much
I think Jason pulls ahead really, really quickly.
Well, he's who you're buying a ticket for, not this Carrie ripoff.
Really? That's what you were buying for?
But Jason, fake Carrie's movie is coming
Tina.
Out.
Yeah, it's all about Tina.
Tina does it, Dale Earnhardt. We're talking about race cars. That's all I know.
Why is that the only one you know?
Because it's interesting.
He does a Kyle Busch. There's another one.
Oh, did he die?
No, he's alive and well. He's very successful.
Is that like Jeb's son?
Yep. Yes, sir.
Watch my race car, please.
Do you know the mom's hair in this movie?
Oh, yeah. What's going on with that?
She looks like she should be giving Ted DiBiase the $1 million bill, right? She should be like his side lady.
It's amazing. She looks like a lion that got electrocuted by lightning. I think it's like if everyone else had like one hair designer, and then like this woman just had to bring someone from home. We don't have enough time for everybody else and you, lady. It's amazing.
It's a really good hair. She's just kind of put upon, right? She's not too happy to be.
Well, she wants the best for her daughter.
Okay.
Even if it is being exploited by this doctor who's just got like...
Who's going to live in your house then?
Live in the house. That's what's amazing. They pull up to this house. He's there first.
Oh, man.
What took you so long?
Well, this is where we were.
Do you think so?
I think Terry Kaiser and his mother are fucking.
Oh, is there like a cut sex scene or something?
Well, they cut the finger ribbon, so I wouldn't be surprised.
That's what this movie needs, though. Yeah. Like, what a spin. This is what John Carl Buechler was looking for. What's a new take on it? Instead of all these skimpy teens, how about two, like, 65-year-olds just going at it to 10?
A middle-aged romance. Yeah, a tender kind of thing.
Terry Kaiser was just like, yep. What was that noise? That was a... Yep. That's Terry Kaiser getting excited about a sex scene in a movie.
Oh, I see. All right.
He's like, nobody's going to see this anyway. Let's do it. Unstimulated five.
Tonight it's Terry Kisser.
You put one extra S in that name.
Yeah, now he's kissing people.
Anyone has ever been like, I want to have sex with Terry Kaiser, but you can't move.
Like, yes. Oh, yes.
Do this. Do the thing, Terry Kaiser.
Do the thing!
I brought these brown sunglasses.
And he lays them like a log?
Yeah.
And then you straddle them?
Yes, exactly. That's and then maybe if you wanted to be more exciting, you play like calypso music. And try to dance around.
No, you can only move, Terry, with a music song!
No, Terry, go limp. Wait, no.
Not all the way limp.
You know what? I can get into this. Yeah. I think it's something a good
story. We're inventing a fetish right now.
Listen, somebody definitely already invented it.
Hey, Barry, tonight let's do the Bernie.
Again?
You want me to talk about Medicare for all?
No! Wrong Bernie. The weekend one. Let's have sex. Oh, that's haunting. Let's do it.
Gross again.
Well, everybody's coming at the same time. That's the only way it's fair. God damn it. I am sick and tired of people. The top 1% coming first.
Excuse me, you're wrong. Only I should.
Oh, mercy.
Oh, I'm a Bukkake socialist.
Yeah. It's a new wave. It's a new day.
Sure. Yes.
That's how you expand the base, man.
Yeah. I don't know what movie this is.
Well, it was Friday the 13th, 7.
We're all in the house. We're all drinking beer and soda pop.
Dude, the amount of soda in this movie is unacceptable. Orange soda. You got slice, you got diet slice, which I think is the drink of Satan. One woman prefers Mountain Dew quite nicely. And then, like, one dude's like, hey, guys, how about some beer? This is a fucking kill movie. How about some beer? And they're all like, ew, beer!
You're all gonna die soon. Do you wanna, like, maybe before you go out?
Yeah, and we're smoking pot. This one guy's a drug addict, I guess.
I got a real problem.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, no, I do. It's
Reefer Madness, right?
This guy's got Reefer Madness. It's one of those things, it's like he doesn't know what happens when you smoke weed, so they're like, all right, Devin, and this senior character has smoked some marijuana. So you have to be high on it. And he's like, okay. And he starts, like, falling around like a drunk cartoon. And then the other beef is you gotta look at like his stash bag and it's just like a bunch of rosemary. You're like, come on, prop department. I definitely know people making Friday the 13th 7 know what fucking weed looks like.
Maybe he's stupid and he's just smoking rosemary. We haven't smoked it. Maybe you stumble around because your lungs are burning or something.
Oh shit, yeah, he's just like burping and smelling like spaghetti sauce.
Do you think he got ripped off? That's the thing. Yeah, the pusher was like, yeah, man, it's cool. You can definitely buy this in the bowling alley bathroom. It's legit sticky shit, man.
And so the
Mary Jane, Rosemary Jane.
Oh, yes. How about that?
Yeah. I just thought of that.
Oh, wow. We weren't sitting on that for a while.
Is that an improvisation?
Yeah.
Rosemary Jane. What were you saying, Steve?
No, we're waiting for Michael, who his car breaks down. It's him and his girlfriend.
Right.
And like he's so lazy, like he doesn't know where he's going because it's a surprise party. He's like, let's just camp here. And I'm like, what?
He takes two steps away from a broken down car. He's like, this'll do. The side of a road, let's put a tent up.
I'm an eighth of a mile from the highway. What the hell?
And this is why you don't wait till morning anymore, dude. Like, go get help.
And well, also they have just passed a sign that says Crystal Lake 5 miles.
Yeah,
lazy fuck. Like, come on, do it, get there. So he's like bitching about this, and this is like it's the worst thing when someone's trying to conceal that a surprise party is happening, and the whole thing's about to go south, and she's just like, "No, we really should get to that cabin." And he's like, "Why? Who gives a shit? We'll get there tomorrow."
Let's sleep on the ground.
No, we really gotta. You know what? Fuck it. It's a surprise party, you idiot. And now it's ruined. Thanks for nothing. And I rented a cabin. It's at Camp Blood. The brochure looked great. You ruined it.
It smells like shit all the time. Gorgeous area.
And 75% of the lake is swimmable.
I mean, you don't want to be in the one area where that guy's always grabbing at you, but other than that, it's very swimmable.
Yeah. I feel like that would be a thing, like teenagers at Crystal Lake. It's like, you know, like the people who like jump off like train trestles in the water and stuff. Like, all right, man, you gotta swim over the grabber. And then like one tragic prom night, Devin gets grabbed and he gets got. And they put a little like thing of like swimmies around it. Like, don't float over the grabber.
Jason's like, oh man.
Not the swimmies. He's so complacent to just lay in that lake.
He's just totally chill.
Like, what? He would be able to break a chain. That's really stupid.
Oh, that's right. We should talk about it. So he gets out because Tina goes to the lake.
Oh, right.
And she gets emotional and, like, I don't know, like, breaks his chains.
Well, I think it's the thing where she's thinking about her dead dad.
Yeah. Like, and how she murdered
like,
him.
Like, I wish she could come back and, Jason's in there.
I wish I had killed my father in spectacular fashion.
Yeah, that like, dude does go out.
Because then other times, and it goes up and down throughout the movie, like, at some points she can kind of, like, make somebody's hair go up, and then other times she can crash an entire damn deck.
Yeah, it is inconsistent at best. Not surprisingly.
She frees him, he kills this guy and his girlfriend, and now everybody
kills the birthday boy.
The birthday boy himself. And the no one at the party cares. Like, you're at a surprise party for your friend.
Yeah.
The next day, somebody even says, like, oh, he probably got, like, busted for drunk driving or something. And I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, he probably got busted for drunk driving. He just spent the night in jail. And then this other dude's like, look, he can sniff out a party from 100 miles away. He will be here.
100 miles away.
Smells like a lot of parties going on. What with it being 100
miles? If that was true, if that was his superpower, I would just think he's at a better party.
Yeah.
This party fucking sucks.
It's all, I think what this girlfriend did was invite a bunch of people from his work who all don't like him or each other.
It's, the latter specifically.
Yes. There's like a rich girl that wants to have sex with our sexy lead, Nick.
Nick.
He's like a
C-grade Christopher Reeve.
Brendan Reeves.
Oh, yeah, Brendan. There's a very annoying writer.
This guy.
He's a...
All right. Well, he's doing the thing where he's, like, pitching people on his bad sci-fi ideas.
Yeah.
And his sci-fi ideas are like, all right, how about this shit? It's 30,000 years in the future, and they're aliens.
I call it Dianetics.
If you give me $10,000, I'll tell you the rest of the story.
I used to think that book was about volcanoes.
It's about aliens that go to volcanoes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. Because they charge their sexual powers in the volcanoes.
Yeah.
That's at least what I assume it's about.
Yeah, of course. It's like going to Hawaii on your honeymoon.
So it's him. There's a little mousy girl.
Of course.
You gotta have one of those.
And by that, we mean she has glasses on.
So yeah, that's literally all they're doing.
She's a real hag.
She's got glasses on her face. It's like, how are you ever gonna have sex with her?
Somebody has to have sex with a woman with glasses. It's just ridiculous already. Your character's been fucking tens the whole time. You gotta give a love to the fours. The fours, the fives. Love for all.
That's it, yeah.
Bocanero won.
It's her friend, and they're both vying after the drug addict, and at one point, like, the drug addict comes by, and she's like, I'm gonna go hit on him, and she's like, Lisa, don't, and she's like, well, we promised to have a good time, so let's keep our pact, and I'm gonna fuck your crush, bye.
This is also after this best friend is like, and also, you need a lot of makeup work.
Yeah.
And she's like, you can see this woman's heartbreak.
It's a crippling insult, is what it is.
And it's like, this is the friends of this movie. This movie's telling us these are buddies.
Nobody likes each
other. He's like,
you
fucking ugly bitch, I'm gonna go fuck that dude you like. Good day.
You're still my ride, right?
Oh, yeah, the mousy girl definitely is the one with the
gun. Uh-huh, absolutely.
Are you sure Michael's gonna be okay with this? I wasn't even invited.
Yeah, it's fine.
This Trans Am your dad bought you is pretty great.
It's the only 2000 Trans Am.
That's illegally shipped to New Jersey through the time barricade.
Tina goes to this party because, like, her and Nick kind of start flirting.
After she embarrassingly drops all of her... She's got, like, a suitcase that unfolds, or, like, opens up, right, which is embarrassing, but all that's in it is underwear. What were you planning for this trip, Tina? This trip in where you're getting, like, mental health help? Yeah. Like, well, I'll just pack all this underwear.
Paraded by a lunatic?
Wait, you know, maybe because she's crazy. Maybe this guy's onto something.
I feel like it's a thing, like, every time she uses her powers, she, like, kind of shits a little or something. You gotta go back up, man. I don't know. If you were only intending to go for the night,
I certainly brought backups to Atlanta. Gonna happen.
You do not want to be on tour and shit your pants.
No, we do not. Maybe sometime this show we'll get to it.
We'll see if there's time.
Yes.
We'll just see if there's time.
We Hate Movies presents Gigi Allen.
But he invites her to a surprise party, and I need to know if it's a surprise party, because then I'm just not going to go. I'm going to go to somebody else's surprise party.
Why would you just go to a stranger? I mean, well, this is an instant shutdown, this invitation.
That's
like, no thanks.
That's the biggest surprise of all. If you go to a surprise party, there's a bunch of people you don't know. That's, like, weird.
Well, that's, like, I see that. Like, the lights turn on, it's a bunch of strangers, they all yell surprise. It's like... cult initiation,
yeah.
Mass murder, orgy, like those three, not like it's a birthday party. That's like way down on the list.
There are balloons though, so that kind
that's not good. Funny, man. I'm sure over the course of history, there's been balloons at orgies.
And there's a cake rotting away on the table.
This fucking prop department.
It's probably pretty accurate. I think, you know, Chuck Manson probably has some balloons around.
Balloons! Where's my cake? I can't play my original music without my cake!
Yeah, well, it was a surprise for the Polanskis.
That was like the opposite of a ring and run, really.
You wish it was.
Yeah.
You wish they would run.
But so we get the best two deaths are none of the people at this party.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah, so it's another, like, you know what, Chris Cabin, take it away.
Thank you.
I'll be over here.
So there's a married couple, and the husband is talking about wood.
Uh-huh,
and how much they need wood.
And the wife needs wood. Thrilling screenplay.
And
do you think that's a double entendre?
I do. That's my thinking. He's like, hey, honey, I can get you some wood.
She's like, no, it's fucking cold. Get the actual wood, pervert.
So he goes off to get some wood. He's going to be collecting it all.
He stacks a bunch of boners on the fire.
He goes out of a
one night camping trip with his wife and a machete.
If I was this lady, I'd be a tad worried. Because one, it kind of looks like this marriage is having a little strain to begin with.
Sure.
And then it's like, all right, so let's see. We've got some suntan lotion, body spray. Is this a machete? What do you need this for?
Chopping things.
What's up? Shovel and lie? Why do you need all this? Yeah,
this dude is doing it right. So he goes out, he gets killed by Jason. What does he get there?
This is great. Jason like punches him in the back, rips his heart out, and then snaps his neck. But just in case it's going to be another Jason or something, I better double tap this.
Yeah, that's an ultra kill.
Yeah.
And then the wife is in a sleeping bag, and Jason picks it up and slams it against a tree, a kind of famous scene. And I mean, like, what did Jason do? Like, wow, I just did that.
I did not think that was going to work.
That's good even for me. Did you guys read on the Tribune the weird shit about that?
What?
So this auteur that directed this movie, he came up with the idea for this. At least he claims, and I don't know why he would claim this if it didn't happen. It's like, yeah, this one time I got mad at my sister and thought about doing that to her. This motherfucker said this in public. And then I made this movie.
I only just thought about it. God.
Jesus. Fucking thought police. Pretty odd.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a weird thing for someone to say. I think it's on like a DVD commentary or something. Can you imagine that? Like, you're just listening to that shit, and he's like, no, this part right here. My sister and I had an argument over a surprise birthday. And I thought about putting her inside a sleeping bag and bashing it against a tree until she was dead. And I wrote it into this movie.
Don Colbuca, you will be placed in a sleeping bag and hitting against the tree.
Until then.
I don't know.
What a sick fuck. That's all I'm saying.
It's a weird idea. It gets reprised in Jason X, actually.
Yeah, and well, then he really does it too.
It's been a while. Is that like a space sleeping bag?
Well, he's on like a holodeck, and like they're like trying to placate him, so they give him like all these CGI kids to kill.
And he's like, oh, I'll do the old kids. These are all the thieves.
All the glory years, man. Remember back in the day, you used to do this all the time.
Corey Feldman just materializes. Remember me? No?
I think so. It's very funny. Well. Shitty music.
Oh, right. He's a musician now.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Oh, all right. What's it called? Like Corey Feldman and the Falling Angels or something?
Something like that, yeah. Corey Feldman and the Wrong Color Wine.
What is it?
Corey Feldman and the Angels.
And the Angels? Do you have their LP? Or did you just see them at the minor league baseball game there? Because it's one or the other.
I would buy a ticket for that, right?
Oh, hell yeah. See, hell yeah.
Minor league baseball, hell yeah.
You know, sometimes it's better than the regular stuff.
You just gotta get out of there before they start lighting off the fireworks.
But this movie also, speaking of the gore and the death, it was heavily edited because they were trying to stop an X rating, I guess. I don't know why.
We gotta stop this X! Cut it down!
But the weird thing is, like, that's the whole point. That's the whole point. Like, that's what I want to watch.
Like, but you're buying the ticket for
it. I want people's heads
inevitably renting this on VHS tape.
Yeah, this is Ramon's theory. Don't change much.
Yeah,
there you are.
You know what? It works. It's worked literally six times before this. Don't go changing.
I don't need to see his mangled teeth on the side of the fucking thing. I just need him to kill people.
We'll get to that. So she has words. Well, I guess it's like silent words with some of the people. So, like, she goes into this kitchen and she's like, hi, I'm the new girl. And they're all like, fuck you, weirdo. And I was like, that's exactly why you don't accept an invitation to a stranger's party. And then this other guy, the writer, goes up and starts telling her about a science fiction project, which is like a skunk spraying you. It's just like a way to like not have sex with somebody.
Yeah.
Getting an elevator pitch for a novel you don't want to read.
Yeah.
I want to read that one novel he mentioned later on.
Which is what?
Space Mummy?
Oh, all right.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking Outer Space Mummy? Yeah. Oh, I guess that's Stargate.
No wonder I'm my own adventure.
Yes, exactly.
If you want to see what the space mummy does next, turn to page 22. If you'd like to close this forever.
If you want to be entertained, turn on the television.
I gave up on so many of those books.
Yeah, of course.
Who could care?
You know, it's too much power for me.
Oh, really?
to wield the path of the story.
Take my hand on a journey, man. Don't give me choice.
Plus, it really weakens the space mummy story, too. Yeah. It really dilutes it.
Yeah.
At this point, this rich girl is, like, psychotically obsessed with Nick. Nick, by the way, whose only two features are he's good-looking and he's going to night school.
That's awesome. You get this dude's bio, speaking of elevator pitches, and he's just like, well, I grew up in Pittsburgh. I fell in with a really bad crowd. And now I go to night school. And I was like, why is the night school matriculation directly connected to the fact that you ran in with a bad crowd? That's not like a prerequisite for going to night school. You can just go to night school.
I feel like he's like leaving out the Wonderland murders. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like kind of jumping over a big thing.
I fell in with the wrong crowd. We murdered a porn star and all of his friends. And now I'm at night school.
This is why you do that. You sneak it in. You're like, yeah, I ran into a bad crowd. And then when you've been going out for like a year, and then you're like, then she finds out about the murders and shit. And you're like, what? I told you about that.
I told you, I fell in with a bad crowd. If this is a scene, by the way, where this actor is failing at skipping stones. I feel like it was like he lied on his resume. It was like special skills. I can speak Spanish, weightlifting, skipping stones. And then they get to set and he's like, ugh. And he's like trying to impress this chick. Like he's trying to impress Tina.
I meant the shot put. Get up the shot put.
Oh shit, did I write skipping stones again? I meant shot put.
No, I'm just trying to kill that fish.
Oh, that fish has got some evil in him.
Trying to throw a rock at the grabber. So whatever, man, he's like resurrected and he's killing people all over the place, slowly making his way to these two houses.
But the rich girl is like obsessed with Nick, so she like is picking on Tina, and like she goes up to the writer guy, and she's like, hey, guess what? You're really good looking. He's like, I am?
Say what?
I just said space mummy, and you got horny? This is gonna work after all. So she enlists him like to do like this straitjacket gag, and he's like, girls are paying attention to me.
Yeah, I will insult this mentally ill girl because this other one liked me.
So she's like,
so she's traumatized by this clearly, and this is where you get some like cool psychic powers. And you see she's like, she's going on and on about this pearl necklace that her dad gave her or something. So you see the thing like come up, and I was like, cool, she's gonna like tighten this around her neck, and it's gonna be awesome.
Yeah.
And it just kinda like falls to pieces.
She needs to be killing people because the
yes, yeah, just as dangerous as Jason or more so.
Well, because this movie was supposed to be Freddy versus Jason, like that was the idea, like the genesis of it. And they're like, Freddy backed out. Telepath the girl.
Freddy had other commitments.
He's in.
Oh, I make shitty sequels of my own.
87, they were still churning those terrible movies out too.
I've been auditioning. I'm really close to getting this pilot. Waiting for a callback.
Yeah, the pilot was Wings.
Oh wow.
And you didn't get it.
Oh, you think he's gonna be Noel?
Yes, he definitely is gonna be Noel. This airport's too small.
Or whatever they were complaining.
They were upset about a lot of things.
Where was that, Alaska?
Nantucket.
Oh, I was way off.
All right, everybody, now get ready for a deafening applause. Who's watched a full episode of Wings? All right, see, you know that. That is much more than I thought.
You're much more than me, man.
Can I bring up a behind-the-scenes thing on this?
Absolutely.
There was a man who was hired for the production named Leslie Busby. That's a real name. And he was hired as Gator Man.
Wait, well, there's not a gator in this movie.
I know. This is what happened. They hired a Gator Man for Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
They were shooting in Alabama, and they're like, there's crocodiles in the water. They could eat
Wait, so crocodiles, but they hired a Gator Man to do it?
What a
cock-up. Oh, so they're like filming in this lake and they're like, oh, alright, now Leslie, you just watch out for the gators. Just sit there and you see a gator come out, you gotta call cut.
But here's the thing, is it was winter and gators don't live outside in winter, so he was just staring at a pond and Paramount Pictures was picking up the tab.
Ah, it's good work, you can get it. What a scam, that's great.
That is the drunkest winter of his entire life, right?
Oh yeah, he doesn't remember the thing about it. He's like, I helped make what?
Still no gators. Still no gators.
Hey, Leslie, are we good? Wait, let me check. Yeah, still no gators.
Chris, I thought you were I thought it was going to be like Killer Croc was supposed to be in this movie. Like, imagine if like a mutant alligator fought Jason. That'd be fun.
That Jason looks like a mutant alligator.
Once you get the mask off, he does.
That's a big, stupid thing that happens later.
So, yeah, I mean, like, there's some cat and mouse. Any other good deaths? I'm sort of starting
to... No, they're all lame because they're all, like, edited for television.
Oh, no, so she's like, the two friends, the one girl's like, I'm going to go fuck your crush, and leaves, and she's like, well, I'll show you, I'm gonna try makeup. Like, and she's like 29 years old. It's like, yeah, you know what that is.
See, now this is the thing you just reminded me. So we had a dude who was hired to spot gators, yet there was no one who could be bothered to pay attention to continuity. Because this woman goes upstairs of this house that they've rented. She's sitting in front of this mirror, putting on lipstick and whatnot. And Goodbye Horses is playing.
No, I feel like it's not even that. Like, she's just like, I'm gonna fuck this guy. I'm gonna dress like a sexy receptionist.
I could be an extra on Murphy Brown.
I can feather my own hair.
That's right.
And then she's like, all right, looks good. Let's do this. And she goes downstairs. And then we cut to her just walking outside of this brick building we've never seen before. Where the fuck did this come from? And she walks like 4 feet, and then she's in a barn that we've never seen before.
She also looks confused during this whole thing.
Yeah. She's like, I fucking fell out of one movie and came into another one.
I think it's Quantum Leap. I think she left.
Oh, boy. It's that witch's curse, man. It fucks up all sorts of reality.
It's a pretty powerful witch.
But the thing is, though, when you talk about it, like, yeah, you could either have a gator expert or a continuity expert. I'm more afraid of gators, personally.
Yeah, you're right, actually. No one's ever been killed by continuity.
Exactly.
It does say.
I mean, you probably want a reputable gator expert that says it's winter and you don't need me, but, yeah.
But that's when this movie turns into an RPG game, though, because he walks into this barn and there's just, like, a wall of merchandise. There's, like, all these killing tools, and he's, like, drooling over this shit.
Well, it's like me at Barnes & Noble with a gift certificate. You know, it's like, which one do I get?
All of them.
Yes, exactly.
But it's like you keep seeing him show up with these tools, and it's like, where the fuck did he get? Oh, the barn. Oh, the murder barn. And this is where he gets like this huge weed whacker, and that's what gets Terry Kaiser, I guess.
Terry Kaiser just kind of gets cut in the chest with a weed whacker, which kind of sucks.
Well, you don't know because you don't see it, Steven.
Yeah. You gotta put it in his face and make it all mush.
It's like the saw. Like, cut his head off. Come on. Yeah. Cut his head off.
Sure.
I don't think anyone watching this movie, in the theater or otherwise, would see someone's head get off and be like, what the fuck is that? I thought I was watching a family friendly Friday the 13th movie.
They should have cut his feet off and have him stumbling around.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's what he became known for.
What?
Terry.
I thought he became known for getting his feet cut off.
Well, you didn't know?
I didn't read that.
No, it happened. Yeah. The other year, he had his feet cut off.
Oh,
is he dead?
No, he's alive and well. He's cursed him now.
He's at a convention right now.
What? No, wait, wait. Weekend of Bernie's convention?
Oh, they're everywhere, man. Bernie Con.
You can have a Bernie Con, that's just you can dress up as three different characters. It's very boring. He also has the greatest act of cowardice in this movie because, you know, like, him and the mom are running around, and then it's like, oh no, Jason, and they're like running, and they both like, he like pretend falls, and then he's like, get down, and then he comes, like, Jason like stalks around the corner, and he's like, all right, go, and he picks this woman up by the arms and holds her in front of this murderer while she gets butchered.
If this was hockey or basketball, he'd be credited with an assist.
Yeah,
like that's how that works.
He's totally complicit now.
That couldn't happen without his efforts.
Yeah. Thanks, buddy.
Like Stockton and Malone.
I'd like to see that 30 for 30.
Terry Kaiser and Jason.
ESPN is running out of ideas.
Terry Kaiser goes to a bar, meets people, then just holds them for Jason to kill.
Why hasn't that happened? Like, why hasn't someone, like, you know, just played his mother and, like, got him to do murders? Has that happened?
No.
No. Government's
Special Forces, you know,
what?
Project at the end Jason X, isn't he a military experiment gone wrong
or something?
Yeah.
Whatever happens in that space
I think
movie.
They put adamantium in him, right?
Oh.
And then, oh dude, old man Jason loved that movie.
It's just it's Kane Hodder and Patrick Stewart yelling at each other.
Everybody I killed is dead.
What a confusing yet touching line of dialogue. He's a fucking poet, man.
I mean, but that would make sense, though. You do get those, like, weird things, like people who marry serial killers. So, like, women would be obsessed with Jason, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
They'd be writing him letters and stuff. Sure. Probably.
Yeah. I'd write him a letter. Just think about what, you know, what will he say back? I want to know.
I mean, he might be illiterate, so that might be a problem.
Maybe he can sign a headshot.
I don't know. He seems really focused on his career, though.
I was really touched by your letter. It sounds like your parents are dicks. All the best, Jason. P.S. Thanks for listening to my EP. Music is my new love.
That nerd gets sexually humiliated, by the way.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's just, they're like, so she's like trying to make Nick jealous because she's insane.
So yeah, she's setting a sex trap. She's like, all right, nerd, I'll listen to your pitch about Dianetics or whatever. Let's just come into bed. And like every time they keep cutting back to this dude, he's just like, burrowing his face into her neck. And I was like, this guy just doesn't know how to do it. That's the problem. It's not this lady's fault. She's just like, I'm tired of getting your nose rubbed into my neck.
Well, she's like, you know, just, she gives him the stop. Like, no. And he's like, wait, what? And she's like, yeah, obviously.
I thought I was supposed to headbutt your stomach.
Man, that guy is way off. So then he does that, like, that classic move of like, well, fine, I'm gonna go take a cold shower. Oh, that didn't change your mind? Alright, well, I got a date with a soap on a rope.
Well, she...
Nothing? Alright.
He does give her the sick burn as, oh, you think I care about rejection from you? I've been rejected from the finest science fiction publications in the continental U.S. And yeah, she's like, I made the right decision.
Which is such a specific thing. I was like, were you published in Alaska? What is that? Maybe.
Is there some zine out there?
Oh, definitely a zine that he started and published and mailed to Alaska.
So he gets murdered. I mean,
they all get murdered.
Everybody, almost everybody certainly gets murdered.
So then, like, these two movies converge, and then we, like, run back and forth between two houses for, like, 35 minutes.
That's about right, yeah. Yeah, it's like in the Muppet Babies when you open the door and, like, Return of the Jedi is going on. You're like, that's not right! And you close it. It's like, oh, it's this weird telekinetic family drama. No, that's not right. Oh, no, Jason.
Kramer versus Kramer.
Exactly.
That was an odd turn for the Muppet Babies.
Maggie, what's divorce? Explain it to us.
Well, they should have tackled more bigger subjects on that show.
Oh, they could have, man. Yeah. Because they had a chance to really say something.
Did the government ever try and kick in the door or no?
Oh, the Muppet Babies?
Yeah!
Yeah, this old woman's hiding all these clearly government experiments inside this nursery.
Or maybe it's the, oh no, that's what it is. It's not. It is a government experiment. Like, it's two-way glass.
That's not even a house, you think? Yeah, it's just a room that's designed like a nursery?
And now we're getting into old man Kermit.
And they're all X-23s.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Give me the fucking rainbow connection right now. So we're going back and forth, and then it's, you know what, it's just a bunch of cat and mouse stupid shit. She realizes she can just, like, go balls out with these psychic powers is the idea. Like, this is where the special effects budget is going, by the way. Into all these cool moves.
All $5 of it.
Oh, yeah, like, someone throws a couch at him, and you're supposed to think that she did it mentally. That's pretty
There's funny. A lot of, like, stop-motion animation of, like, it looks like a Tool video for a while. Like, you know, like,
yeah, totally. Like, a Braver is short or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty great.
It's fun.
And then he takes. She tightens his mask.
Oh, that's pretty disgusting.
Crush his head in like this. But this does lead to him taking off the fucking mask.
This is the dumbest thing you could do in this movie. The whole reason anybody cares is because it's a scary dude with a hockey mask on. And this genius artist was like, you know what? I'm going to turn the tables on Hollywood.
Whoa!
That mask is coming off. And it looks like a lizard person. This isn't a decaying boy child.
He's a reptilian.
Yeah.
He
looks like a Goomba from the Super Mario Bros.
He actually really does. He does a lot.
It's disgusting, and he's just like, ah, like his jaw's going. It's like a fucking Disney animatronic thing. I guess he's always muttering, but like once the mask is off, it really starts up. Like
you can hear it.
Yeah,
that's what the mask does. It keeps that mumbling sort of good.
Yeah.
You don't hear this fucking motor mouth constantly. That's the whole time he's just asking for help.
That'd be really sad.
Yeah. Gives you a whole new twist on Jason.
Can you help me? No? Well, I'll murder you.
Well, no. Let me just shake your hand. Oh, no, I killed you.
I can't help it.
That's why we need Medicare for all. We need to help these people before they go out and start killing everybody and get cursed by different things.
So he's thrown through the floor by her mental powers twice in this movie.
She hangs him for a little bit.
Until dead.
Yeah.
Until undead, I guess.
He does get electrocuted as well.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Right in a puddle.
Oh, right, man. That big puddle out of nowhere? What was that?
She...
No, seriously, it wasn't... Yeah. You know what? You didn't show me rain.
Yep.
What is this puddle?
This huge puddle.
And it's a humongous puddle. Like,
it's like someone emptied a kiddie pool.
Where is the highway department, man? Now, a shovel.
I'm imagining the gator expert looking at the script, like, are you gonna want me on set that day? That puddle might be a gator. You know what?
That's baby gator central.
I'm just saying, man, there might be a gator.
Listen, if there's one thing I learned in Gator Academy, is that gators love puddles. If you're gonna play with a puddle, man, you might get burned or bit in this case, as it were.
He's just scamming all these film productions. He's on the English Patient for some reason.
I don't know, that desert might have some desert gators.
You know what gators love? Planes crashing in the desert. They also love sex in a bathtub.
And that man's name? Steve Irwin.
Oh, nice.
I gotta bring up as many dead people as possible.
Doing good so far.
Let me just put an asterisk. Beloved dead people.
Yeah, they die too.
Yes, Eric, they do.
So, but she keeps killing him, and she's like, there, I'm all done. Like, and just walks away and, like, is just happy about life. No.
Well, this is just, like, the 10-minute prologue. We are just padding the shit out of this because there's no story.
Just, like, finish the job. You've got these Jedi powers.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it should be. If she's, like, as strong as, let's say, like, she's, like, a Jean Grey, right?
Sure.
And she, like, whips him up and then just turns him to sand. Right? You see him, like, shaking, and the music's, like, coming up, and then he just explodes into really smelly sand. And then you're like, oh, well, that's the end of the franchise.
Exactly.
Clearly.
Now I'm literally not afraid of Jason anymore.
Yeah. Who'd that happen to you? Cyclops?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, then didn't you do the same thing to Professor X in the same shitty movie?
Yeah, 20 minutes apart.
Yeah. What are the odds?
Well, I bet you didn't think we were going to bring up X-Men, did you?
I've worn an X-Men shirt.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
That's an X-Men shirt.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
No, it's not. It's not. So she sprays him with gasoline. This old house has like a diesel, like a depot of gasoline.
It's got a huge furnace down there.
Yeah.
I think this is left over from like the Freddy part of the script.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, you're ripping me off, dude. We're going to court.
Maybe.
I've got knives for fingers and fuckers for lawyers, man. The fuck is up? I have a very strong legal team. They'll come for your 40s. Don't think they won't come. You thought OJ had the dream team. Look out! Excuse me, looks like Jason kills somebody when they're sleeping. No. No, that's my side of the street, dude.
That'll be $25,000.
Jason cannot wear a hat, ever. I don't care if it's hot. I don't care.
I wouldn't want him to wear a hat. That would look really dumb. Like, it would be a hat, like, over the hockey mask.
Yeah.
It would really fuck, like, a
beanie. Yeah.
Oh, a beanie? Oh, yeah. That would play to his intelligence level. It's just like, oh, it spins around when he gets a kill? That'd be awesome. I take it back. That would be really cool. That's how you flip this franchise on its head. Beanies.
He gets blown up. Blowed up, I should say. And it's only Nick and Tina left.
But his house goes up. Let me just say that. That's a good effect.
We have cut over most of the movie, which is actually people just calling for other people.
David!
Peggy!
Tina!
Michael!
Robin!
Sam!
David!
Roger!
Sam!
Dr. Kisser!
Alvin!
Alvin! There's no Alvin there, dude. Maybe there's another person who was not invited to that surprise party, but showed up anyway.
So, we have like this confrontation where everyone thinks Jason is dead yet again. He comes out and he starts, he wants to drown Tina.
Right.
And then, totally inexplicably, Tina's dead dad comes up from the water.
They left him down there?
Yeah!
That's a huge problem.
This guy dies in this like lake and they just leave him down there?
It must mean then that they didn't report it. And it's like, that fucker abandoned us.
Well, but he's got social security checks.
Oh, nice.
Keep signing those checks, lady. I know you're doing it.
Well, the Crystal Lake Police Squad does not exist, so
yeah,
they can't come
they've
and get it.
They've literally abandoned that town.
It's 100. That lake is 100 feet wide and 8 feet deep. Literally, you could find that body.
It would take 10 minutes.
And he wasn't tied to anything. He should have floated up.
Yeah.
Well, there's all the like boards and shit that fell on him.
I don't care. He would have floated up. That, you know, you get your belly's getting all the gas from all your death. And
oh, sure.
You're gonna rise, man. You're gonna rise.
Yeah, you float right up. Well, it's fucked up because he doesn't, like, he should be more rotten than Jason.
Yes.
Mainly because he doesn't have supernatural powers.
Yes, now we know.
That's true. We're not told.
He should be a skeleton.
Oh.
Totally.
Yeah, right? Like, just bones jump out of him.
You'd still get it. You'd be like, oh, I guess that's the dad, maybe. Also, you wouldn't
just
care.
Loose bones.
He's just throwing your father's remains at him.
It's Crystal Lake. Who knows how many corpses are in there?
There's probably thousands.
Thousands upon thousands. Yeah. The whole fucking town's down there. Little kid skeletons. I mean, the whole thing.
Yeah.
The Kittner boy. Oh, the Kittner kid. He's right in there. He thought a shark got him, but it was actually the grabber. It's a Jaws joke.
No, but like this dude looks totally fine. He's just kind of wet, but not really chicken. And he's got these like Jacob Marley chains. He's like, these are the chains I forged in life, Jason. What?
The chains I forged while beating Tina's mother.
I mean, I guess that's a fitting end for that guy.
Yeah, I think so.
I guess so. Like permanently damned to the bottom of Crystal Lake.
But like, I mean, none of this makes any sense. Like, and that's the end of, that's the climax of the movie. This is what the movie has been leading up to, I guess.
We've been working towards it the whole time. All 72 minutes of it. Or something.
Is he like free now, maybe, or not?
Oh, no. He's damn frolicking.
Oh, I see.
Wait, the wife beard?
Yeah.
Is he just like going to be freed and like walk away?
No, he just goes on to a different place.
Oh.
See, no. That would have been a twist, though, if then he was given like a second lease on life. Like he rises
or,
from
or
the dead.
No, we need a shot of him in heaven, man. Surprise party in heaven.
The what dreams may come, heaven.
Oh, yeah, totally. What a boring heaven. You know what, dude? Send me to hell. It's fine. But I don't need that many paintings.
Everyone's just painting this bad music on. Where the fuck is Hendrix? Come on.
We're just in a shitty museum.
So then we just cut to like the next morning, and you're like, all right, well, I've seen literally 6 of these. So, bless you, my goodness. I've seen 6 of these movies. There's something's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Something's coming. So we're getting like these, I think they're like actual Alabama EMTs. These dudes, I mean, this one guy's got a mullet to beat the fucking band. My God in heaven, it is beautiful. This fucking gorgeous Kentucky waterfall coming off of this 15-year-old kid. He's not even conscious of the fact that he's being captured to film for fucking forever.
He's got a dirty mustache and everything.
Oh yeah, he just learned to grow that mustache like last week. Oh, it's embarrassing.
He learned to grow the mustache.
But he's like, look, I can do it now. Dad, look! And he's like, yeah, that's great. You're not going to be an EMT like that, are you? Yeah, okay.
Now go haul corpses.
And so it's like this kid, like two other surly fuckers, and they're like hauling this girl into the back of the ambulance. where this other dude is still hanging out, and he's like kind of unconscious, and they push her into the ambulance, and he wakes up, and he just goes, "Jason?" I'm like, "Shut up, movie." And then they close the door, and he's like, "Well, what about Jason?" And she's just like, "Don't worry, we got him." And then the ambulance drives away, and it starts fading to black, and I was like, "All right, come on, Stinger scene, come on, credits." Oh, that was it? Gator Wrangler credits.
Also, like, why does she never come back in the mythos of, you know, Jason?
Oh, like just around?
Yeah.
I think they were like, this is a stupid idea, and we shouldn't do it again. There wasn't any room, man. He had to take Manhattan.
Tina could have gone to Manhattan.
Oh, yeah, that could be.
Tina takes Manhattan. That's a better movie.
The Muppets took Manhattan once.
Yeah, what happened to them? They were reduced to babies and put in a room for all eternity. Well, that's with nothing but their imagination.
I think that's what happens to people in Manhattan, because Jason gets turned into a baby there, too.
Oh, right, at the end of that. Yeah.
That's why you're not the book to drink the toxic blood to turn you into a baby! What happened to that guy?
Is that the start of Boss Baby?
Oh, God! You know what?
Fans, did anyone see Boss Baby?
Yeah, it's a children guy.
No, no. Oh, this is a very great movie. I love it.
Ticket for one for Boss Baby, please.
Yeah, hi, I'm a creep.
No! Maybe he's an animator. Just checking out the competition.
Could be a huge Alec Baldwin fan.
Oh, yeah, they're out there.
Are they?
Yeah. The Gator Watcher's looking at me.
I was a Gator Watcher on Boss Baby. Gotta make sure those animators don't draw any alligators.
Gators love computer animation.
Or maybe like a guy trying to get rid of other Baldwins. Alright, no Stephen Baldwin yet.
Keep your eyes peeled for Stephen Baldwin.
I handle alligators and Stephen Baldwin.
Yeah, I'm expanding my business.
Oh shit, Stephen Baldwin's going into a death roll.
So would anybody recommend this movie, man?
Yeah, I think it's kind of fun.
Yeah. You know?
I mean, it's not one of the better ones, but it's one of the ones.
You know what? It's a movie they made.
Yeah, I agree. It's an 80s Friday the 13th. After the 80s end, it really becomes kind of not okay for Friday the 13th.
Yeah, you gotta cut that shit off.
But I feel like we could bring this series back, right? Like,
you just gotta keep setting it in the 80s.
I think, yeah, period piece, man. Yeah.
Totally.
Or just set it in, like, an alternate 2017. That's just the 80s.
That would work.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I'd recommend it. I own it on Blu-ray, so what the hell? That's something I just admitted in public. I literally own all of these. High definition discs.
That's good.
Yeah, no, it's terrible.
You know,
I'm sorry.
No, but like for a 70-minute movie, it does kind of fly by, which is nice.
Yeah, it does.
But nothing happens.
I also would like to just turn on the audience for a second. I think somebody else saw Boss Baby.
I'm almost Boss. It's not just you, sir. I know somebody else did.
You have evidence?
They're just sitting here and their cheeks are red like, oh fuck. No one can know.
Is the movie that bad?
I don't know.
All right. You know what? Maybe we'll never know. So we're going to start wrapping things up here. We want to thank you guys for coming out. Give yourselves a round of applause. It's been great. Big thanks to the Punchline for having us come all the way down here. Thanks to them.
You can buy posters over there. Chris Walton did design those. Those are pretty cool.
Yes, our artist friend Chris Walton drew us.
For legal reasons, that is not Jason at all.
No, Jason Voorhees.
Yes.
He's the one in that drawing. We like to end every show with a little bit of internet correspondence. And by correspondence, I mean reviews from IMDb. Because the most passionate people on the internet are the people that bother to take time to write reviews on the internet or the database.
The real movie buffs.
Real big time movie buffs, man. So this one comes from Friday Fan 1. Subject: no one can stop him.
Hell yeah! Right.
You guessed it, 10 out of 10 stars.
But I just love that movie. Friday Fan 1.
This was a strange Friday the 13th. It could have been really stupid, but luckily it turned out to be one of the best.
Jason looked awesome. Best death scenes I had seen in a while. And a lot of blondes.
Oh, no.
Fucking pervert Friday opinion. This movie also proves that Jason cannot be stopped. So did the last scene.
It's finally been proven.
He will always come back. Might take him a few years. But I bet we can get ready to see a lot more of him in 2001. Okay?
Is he writing from the alternate timeline?
The review was posted in 2001.
Oh, shit.
So I don't know,
it
man.
Sounds like he's talking to, like, Jason's abandoned son. He'll be back one day. I know he will.
Just wait and see what your dad does. Your dad's the best. So this guy's got a little bit of a different opinion than someone here. Subject line, a ho-hum entry.
Oh, no.
From Lucian Vision. Unfortunately, this is 4 out of 10 stars. The New Blood is the second worst installment in the Paramount era Friday the 13th movie.
Well, that's wrong.
Edged out.
I feel like I'm on a message board right now.
Yeah, well, that's the idea. Yeah, all right. Edged out ever so slightly by Jason Takes Manhattan. I'm always perplexed by how many fans embrace this entry. This guy's got a real fucking axe to grind.
And I'm talking about you, Thomas.
Truthfully, Kane Hodder's portrayal of Jason Voorhees and the Jason makeup design are the best things about Part 7. From the lackluster sound design, first of all, you are bitching about the sound design in a slasher movie. You gotta lower them expectations, Gator Wrangler.
The cinematography was terrible.
Insipid script. Jesus Christ. Which seemingly can't even rip off the final chapter well. So why are you rooting for that to happen?
I'm going to email Thomas this immediately.
Forgettable characters. Turtle pacing.
That's not referring to Ninja Turtles?
No, I don't think so.
No, that's a typo. It's turtle racing.
Oh,
is that turtle racing scene?
Oh, right.
Yeah, and then the hare won. Wait, no, the turtle wins.
Yeah, slowly but surely. Right. The race. That's how the fable goes. And practically non-existent door effects. Almost everything about this entry is piss poor. Now, it's important to note here that Lucian Vision is a nice guy, and piss is written P-I $2 signs.
Wait, wouldn't that be piss rich?
It would be piss rich, you're right. Maybe if the movie was available uncut, something that we will unfortunately never see exist, that would boost my rating and enjoyment slightly. This guy is taking this movie to task.
Very seriously.
But as it stands, the sleeping bag kill sequence remains one of the only highlights in this dismal Friday.
Because he would have done it to his sister.
I mean, who hasn't thought about doing that to their sister?
Oh, no. Yikes, dude.
That's just dark shit.
Maybe you should write a Friday the 13th movie.
Oh, sure.
How I would like to kill my sister. Let's wait, cross that off. Friday the 13th.
And he ends it with a plug. Be sure to check out our Friday the 13th fan podcast here at http://. Yeah, I'm not going to plug this. We've been We Hate Movies Atlanta. Thanks so much for coming out. We'll be right back.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.